Well, Garrett, I have yet to see a ferret.
I'm sorry. There's been a lot of traction. There's been a lot of money raised, actually.
Oh, gosh.
I found a guy today who said he had many items for me when we received this ferret, but Slinky has not yet made an appearance.
There will be no Slinky. I'm telling you, it's a bad idea, guys.
There is a graphic that started at one department for a campaign to get Garrett the ferret that is now printed and put on cubicles in other departments. I just saw pictures
there's
of this.
Money attached to the...
I heard that there was money being raised, and then someone asked me the question, said, what do you think, or I no, I asked the question, I said, what do you think about Garrett's wife and all this? They're like, we don't care.
Yep. Yeah, that was unfortunate. I did report that back to my home. Yeah. Not received as well as I anticipated. Yeah. So it turns out one does have to check with the wife before buying a ferret.
Yes.
But what if you're not the one buying it? Because the way I keep hearing it is that you're not going to be the one purchasing it.
Stand by for further. So.
I mean, Gareth smokes all kinds of things. You know, he
say that one more time.
I should say he likes to smoke meat, not like he doesn't. Oh, boy. Hey, what's this episode about?
It's anyway, really out of hand.
Yeah, you're going to have
really out of hand quick. We're going to have to bring this one back in. So, sorry, maybe I shouldn't have started it like that. No, look, we're so glad you guys are joining us. If you have not joined us on a Shield Army before, or if you don't know what we're talking about, Gareth has had a dream for a couple of years to have a emotional support ferret as a part of Shield Chaplaincy.
I think it could change lives, but that's just me.
Yeah. So you may have heard about that on a previous episode, but I just kind of wanted to see where we were on an update. So I thought I would just check in on that. But there are a group of officers right now who are campaigning to make certain that Chaplain Stevenson over here gets a ferret that can walk alongside Scarlett down the hall. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out.
Bad idea.
But anyway, we're going to turn the tables right now. We're going to get off that conversation before that gets any worse than what it already has. But hey, we're glad you're out with us today and listening on the Shield Army. We're glad you're spending some time with us. We have a special guest with us today. A while back, we talked with another officer who talked to us specifically about some things that we can do, particularly in the area of taking care of like our hips and back and that kind of stuff. But there's a real importance to overall physical and nutritional health in the life of an officer. Big deal, something that's pushed a lot in the academy. But the question is what do we do after the academy? And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And so we're bringing in the master of all plans when it comes to things like that today. And so we're going to make sure that we get the full scoop on what that looks like. So we're going to let them introduce themselves, and then we'll jump right into it. So go ahead.
Anna Volk. How's it going?
You the master of everything?
That's a strong word.
All physical and nutritional ailments. That's what I keep hearing.
You just put
you're kind
on
of like
me.
The master of disaster when it comes to nutritional and physical health. That's what I keep hearing.
Okay. I'll take the disaster part.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
I've been here for almost 14 years. I'm up at the academy as a wellness coordinator and background investigator.
Awesome. Awesome. So you've gotten to know SHIELD kind of well through what you do here, and then we've managed to rope you in to sitting at the table with us today. So
it's great.
So, yeah, so we're excited. So you guys, I guess, have known Anna for a while.
Yeah. Many, many moons.
Many, many moons.
Since the beginning of her time with the Roanoke Police Department, actually.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, well, I'm the exception to that rule. I haven't been around that long. So I'm getting to know everybody, so which is good.
Fun fact about Gareth in relation to Anna. I've had a nightmare about Anna before.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
A lot of recruits have too, oddly enough.
Speaking of fitness, she was sitting at a table with my family. This was Thanksgiving in front of all my family, and she was making fun of my dietary choices.
Was not making fun.
That strong was my dream.
Words.
Okay. So I don't know if God was using that as maybe we need to get better. But you are well known through our department for helping our recruits when they come in. A lot of people don't have the background and knowledge you have on fitness and wellness. So it is pretty well known that you help walk people through that. Can you tell us just a little bit about that and your passion?
So my passion really started in the academy, seeing what I could do physically and growing from that.
Sure.
And then more specifically as a female officer, I wanted to be able to show female recruits what they are capable of doing as well. So that kind of started everything. Competed nationally and regionally in LawFit starting in 2013. Still compete. I don't compete every year, but trained under the great Lauren Ford, who's like my dad.
Yep.
Learned a lot from him and taken courses here and there, LawFit certified, a lot of different certifications, but some self-taught stuff, and I read up on studies. So
sure,
try to keep that knowledge going since it's an ever-changing field anyway.
Yeah. It, for those of us in the city departments, you're kind of the go-to for that. If there's a need or a question, you're kind of the resource. I'm sure that does put a lot of weight on your shoulders, but you do enjoy that, and I've seen you help people navigate through that. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
In fact, Darren and I just got to watch her enjoy watching recruits get shocked yesterday.
Yeah, they got tased yesterday. Yeah. It's quite
some
exciting.
Of them had a spiritual experience in that.
Yeah, yeah, that's it was quite interesting. One of these days we're going to get Chaplain Stevenson out there.
He's the only one left.
Yep, he's the only one that hasn't been tased, but that's another episode.
Make that a video episode.
Yep, probably not going to happen. It's like middle school. Like, I'm good with peer pressure. Like, Darren, you did it. Adam, you did it. I don't have to do it. We're good.
Oh, boy.
Good chat.
It's coming one day. You mark my word. So there's going to be a day. Maybe Anna will be able to be the one that tases him.
Too far.
Oh, man, that would be great.
I've discovered through the years that Anna prefers choke holds and knee strikes.
Okay.
So
it will require a choke hold and a knee strike prior to.
What's been really cool for me, having an office at the academy here for the Roanoke department, is seeing through the years how you have helped recruits who maybe didn't come into the academy. Well, let's face it. They came into the academy with, you know, kind of my level of fitness. And sometimes that used to be a good thing. But at this point in my life, if you're at my level of fitness, you need some work. And I've watched you. Now, the recruit has to put in the work.
Right.
Like, you can't do the work for them. But I've watched you go above and beyond to take people through to help them. You know, put a plan together for them, encourage them, do things with them, go the extra mile to see that people get to a better place physically and in their physical fitness. And that's been really cool to see, because it seems like people there's very little middle ground, it seems, anymore, from my observation. Either recruits are pretty squared away physically when they come in, or they're like they're struggling physically. And so what are some, if this is an opportunity for you to kind of give a little bit of a shameless plug for the Roanoke Academy here, maybe. And but if somebody's interested in maybe applying to a department, and this one specifically, what are some things that recruits can do, or would be recruits, should they be hired, to prepare for the academy physically?
I would say, obviously, every department's different. For our academy, we run a lot. And I think that's the number one thing people hate to do is run. So if you're not running, go ahead and start running now. And that it doesn't have to be 5 miles. It can be whatever works for them, as long as they're getting their cardio up. And then for the standards we have in the academy, lifting and getting into that muscle building and getting stronger in certain areas like your chest and lower body, and pull-ups, sit-ups would be great. So
pretty simple stuff they can do at home.
Yep. Just a good starting baseline coming into the academy would be great.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Some of the questions that I think we're going to ask you is with law enforcement. So backing up, we believe in the triangle of wellness, and me and you have talked about this triangle has several different sides, and if we're not healthy in one, we don't have full wellness. So there's the spiritual side, and if spiritually we're not dialed in, we can be physically as strong as an ox, but we're not fully well. I'm saying thing with if we're spiritually good if we're physically good, but yet we struggle with mental health and we're not sleeping and having all those, then we're not well. So with this piece today, we're talking about the physical side. It has appeared to us through all the statistics we have heard that this is a big area that officers need to press into. Kind of the statistic in the state of Virginia is that physically when officers retire, that their life expectancy post-retirement is 18 months. So it's pretty hard on their body.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a national figure, yeah. Nationwide. So somebody puts in this full career of being exposed to the amount of trauma they're exposed to and all these things, dealing with the ugly that people, some people get to go through life without interacting with that much at all, if at all. And officers deal with it every time they work a shift. They do that for a full career. They retire and they're gone within 18 months on average. So it's not just physically, the physical fitness, but that absolutely is a big piece of that. And, one of those other stats that just jumps out is the average age of a heart attack for the general population is 64, but among law enforcement, it's age 49. And we've seen that in the departments we serve. We've seen this played out with mm-hmm. Heart attacks and strokes and other things, other diseases and things hitting officers earlier, that a lot of it's brought on by stress, but certainly the physical condition of officers has a big impact on that.
Yeah. One thing that I read recently too was law enforcement officers are already dealing with a 22-year reduction in life just mm-hmm. because of everything that they deal with, and the physical wellness, mental wellness along with that, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Especially when you have families and you think about that kind of stuff, it hits home a little bit differently.
Yeah, you look at scripture is pretty clear that we're supposed to steward our opportunities well. And officers do have a really awesome opportunity to serve that most people don't get, and they do have families. So taking care of that physical fitness is a big, big step in that. For somebody that I think everybody that is in law enforcement would be aware that they have a need. Mm-hmm. What's step number one for somebody?
As far as?
Physical fitness. So if you realize, man, I'm not stewarding my body well, the job is, I'm 10 years in or whatever, and the job has hurt me. It is, my back hurts, my knees hurt, I'm overweight, I'm not in the shape I was when I exited the academy, I'm not packing my lunch, I'm going to sheets at 2 a.m, and there's this need. What would you tell them as first step? What do we do?
Physically, since our job, it is active to some degree, but it's mm-hmm. really sedentary if you think about it. You're sitting more than 8 hours sometimes in a total in a day, and that's a sedentary lifestyle. So getting up and walking, just moving, is a great start. It doesn't matter how much it is. You don't have to go over and overload your body with anything.
Okay.
You could aim for a certain number of steps to start out with. Doesn't have to be 10,000 steps a day, but just getting up and not sitting down for so long would be step number one. That's what I would suggest. Yep.
Yeah. So life, let's talk about those two different directions you were talking about a second, Gareth. So in the academy, your force, nutrition,
right,
lifestyle, fitness, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're in a, you finish your FTO time, then you're in a car on your own. Everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of temptation there, right? To let those things go. That, because one, you're working, and two, like, and we all know in this department it's very busy, mm-hmm. and so it's like nonstop. So in a shift, sometimes there's not a lot of time to even think about that because you're going from call to call to call to call to call. What are some of those, I guess, temptations of, I guess, in talking about what you're talking about, Gareth, like going to sheets at 2 a.m, what are some of those temptations of falling back into old habits and falling back or of not taking one care of oneself once they actually dive fully headfirst into the job?
It's the easy thing to do.
Yep.
You go and you handle everybody else's problems all day long. The last thing, and you may not be thinking this way, but the last thing you want to do is focus on making a decision for yourself. So it's literally the easy thing to do. You walk into 7-Eleven. We were talking yesterday about the yummy taquitos in the app. It's so easy to just get that instead of taking the time on your day off when you want to be doing other things to meal prep or whatever that looks like.
Yeah. I think it takes, just thinking about last night, I worked last night. And so if I say things that are a little bit incoherent, I formally apologize for that. But just last night, so I packed my lunch. My wife makes extra. We do meal prep. But I didn't put that in the car with us. And we're running kind of call to call or incident to incident. And then we're like, hey, do you want to go grab something to eat? I'm like, man, it's 10 o'clock. I'm hungry or whatever. That just happens. Mm-hmm. And if you're not intentional, I did pack my lunch today. I packed my lunch. But if you don't bring that with you and you don't plan, it falls apart. And that was the easy thing to do. And that's what we did last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rode last night as well. And on my way home, I literally stopped at 7-Eleven.
Oh, boy.
But as I walked through the doors, I'm walking around. I'm walking around. I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm like, this is such a bad idea. And so I left. I didn't eat anything. I was like, if you could just give me some.
I'll give you grace.
Thank you. I didn't eat anything. I promise. I wanted to, but yeah, and the other thing even just for me as a chaplain doing ride alongs, when there's guys that say, hey, you want to grab something to eat? Well, all of a sudden, even if I packed something that maybe was a healthier choice for me, well, I want to eat with the guys, you know, so I'll end up not eating what I packed and, you know, grab something that I probably shouldn't be eating.
Well, I think most places that you go now, there's a healthy option, or you can make an unhealthy option a little bit healthier, right? If you just have a little bit of self-discipline about it. Going back to the temptation thing, I think that accountability is a big part of it, because when you're in the academy, you're held accountable every day. We have our recruits do food logs. A lot of times I'll ask them if they're feeling off, what'd you eat this morning? What'd you eat for lunch? But after the academy, you don't have anybody holding you accountable for that. So if you're able to really have that self-discipline after the academy, continue those good habits, then I think it is easier. But we're also getting away from how fast-paced our jobs are, and then you top families on top of that and other things that you want to do. It's just, it becomes, you know, in the background, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does.
What is that number they say that it takes X amount of times for something to become a habit?
10,000.
Okay. Asked the recruits this, because one of them failed to shave correctly one morning. And
dang.
Attacked.
And so I was asking him, you know, how long have you been shaving? And for most men, it's, you know, the age of 13 or 14, whenever facial hair starts to show up on their face. Unless you're like Gareth and you're 9 years old.
Yes. Some earlier than others.
Yes, age 4 for Gareth, I think.
So I asked them what they thought, and I think the old school was 3 days. 3 days of being strict with your habit, but now it's like 63.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So that's 2 months of doing something consistently, and it's actually by day 3 is usually when that habit starts to fall away. So.
And the average length of time for an academy is how long?
26, 27 weeks.
Okay. Mm. I'm just thinking about like coming out with such a rudimentary life, you know, and then the job just kind of turns that upside down.
Yeah.
You know, when you come out, it's just kind of what I'm thinking.
It's so hard. I mean, we're human beings. The easiest thing is easy. It's called the easiest thing for a reason, you know? So
yeah,
it's hard to really break those habits. You have to have some self-control there.
So in the academy, and I've seen you do it, you have a meal log, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're honing in on the eating portion, which is, I think, most people's problem there. Yeah. But you have a meal log and you write down what you eat and the calories. So for those that are listening that maybe they're like, probably need to step it up, there's some good programs and apps that will track your calories and macros.
Yep.
Is that something you recommend?
I do, and one of the ones I recommend is MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
It's free. It's easy to use. But you have to use it. You can't just download it and let it sit on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's how that works.
Doesn't count. Okay. Doesn't just magically give you your information.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I've used that app, and it was pretty, I think I told you the first time I ever used it, I'd ate like 100 some calories for breakfast, like 100 some calories for lunch. And I was like, man,
that's
like,
it?
Yeah, I was like doing really
very
good.
Very little.
Well, so I went to dinner and I ate 2,300 calories for dinner because I thought like I got extra.
Yeah, no, that's not
and
how
I
it works.
Threw down. I was like, ooh, maybe this is the problem. Yeah. So it showed me that I thought I was being healthy all day long, but it turns
out.
Dude,
that's one piece of cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Cheesecake.
Yeah, that might be worth it. You
guys run a couple miles for that.
I'm just saying.
I just heard a different side from Anna there.
And it's recorded.
That's
So with the dietary side, kind of what I hear you saying is that if we press in and take accountability and the apps and the meal logs help us see that and it helps hold us accountable. Some of the other things that we recommend from the spiritual side is if you're walking with somebody through something, there's power in that.
Absolutely.
So if you can find someone to walk with you, have you seen that to be helpful with the physical side?
Absolutely. I think about a recruit. Obviously, he became an officer, but he no longer works for us. Not on bad reasons, but
okay.
He struggled because his wife made these really good, delicious meals. Mm. And, you know, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But really having your significant other, I think, is where you start to get better at those types of things. And so that's typically what I suggest. Mm. Have that nice, gentle conversation with your significant other or best friend if you don't have one. Somebody that can help gently hold you accountable for what you're doing and do it along with you.
Sure.
And I think once that other person starts to see results and how they feel, that only helps the other person. You know, it validates what they're feeling as well.
So somebody in your zone, if they share in that same goal, hey, we want to be the best we can physically.
Yeah. Make it a zone goal, like a competition. Make it fun. Cops like competition, make it fun.
Yep.
So since you brought up the word goal, what are some important goals that officers could set that could be proactive and helping them, you know, things that are, you know, cause one of the things I've always heard about goals, don't set goals that are not attainable.
Right.
Yeah. What are some attainable goals that officers can set to shoot for that are good, that are within reach?
So obviously, like you said, nothing crazy. And I think about the book Atomic Habits, and he talks about tiny little things every single day, and you stack those, you build those small habits on top of each other. So like I said, being active, go on a walk with your family, take your dog on a walk, go to the Greenway, whatever it takes. Okay, maybe not the Greenway. You're right. go to Salem's Greenway.
I was going to say, you can go over to Salem, where I live. And
go to the Paradise Bubble over there.
Hey, we're trying to make our greenways better.
We're getting better.
We're doing better. But just start by being active, whatever that looks like for you. Then the next week, maybe on Sunday, meal prep, just your lunches, or whatever meal it is that you normally don't do well at, if you're on night shift, dinners, whatever it is. Set a goal then the next week to stop eating at like 7 o'clock. There's all kinds of things. Increase your water intake. Take vitamins. You should be taking a multivitamin to help you out with.
So three questions.
Go ahead.
How much water should I have a day?
So you should be drinking your body weight in ounces of water. So if you're
my ideal body weight or my current body weight?
Sure. Whatever is easier for you. I don't want you like to be miserable doing it,
sure.
But, technically, yes, it's supposed to be your body weight in ounces of water.
Okay.
The recruits drink a gallon a day.
What about
214 ounces of water?
Good luck.
What does that look like? I'm not good at math. What does that look like?
If you can see Darren
right
now.
If you can see what's happening, Darren just grabbed his belly.
That's what that looks like.
Pushed it out there real good.
Really, if you're drinking no water, drink a water bottle. Like, start out drinking at least, you know, a good Gatorade water bottle full.
I think 128 ounces is a gallon, right?
Sure.
Correct. I just looked it up. That's actually what I was looking up to make sure.
128, so 214.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's a little bit
I'm not 128 pounds.
Okay, so just aim for a gallon. Aim for a gallon.
So I'm going to have to drink just under 2 gallons of water a day.
So if I'm riding with you
never
and
do
I'm drinking
another
2 gallons of water.
You won't be drinking 2 gallons of water if you're riding with me.
Nope. Yeah.
It's very difficult on shift to drink that much water for sure. So, you wake up, drink a glass of water. Just get your water in when you can.
Yeah. I have switched, and we'll talk about this in a minute, with caffeine, which is going to hurt me a little bit, but we're going to open that discussion. But I try to every morning get up and drink like 20 to 30 ounces of water before I even touch caffeine.
Yeah.
So the water, we've nailed that down with calories. What is an ideal calorie intake for somebody living in that sedentary lifestyle?
Well, so that's different for everybody.
Okay.
You would first have to start out and seeing what your calorie intake currently is. I would say for most cops, it's probably in the upper twos, 2,000 or it's got to be in the upper 2,000 calories. You think about the normal Chick-fil-A meal, it's probably 1,500 calories for a meal. So, but then that's your only meal. So we're way over what we should be at.
Does the Lord's chicken count for calories? Careful how you answer this.
aim for grilled chicken if you're going to eat the Lord's chicken.
I was going to say grilled chicken answer. And diet lemonade, and you can get away with about 500 calories.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say, reducing or exercising to burn 500 calories. So you're either reducing your current calorie intake by 500 or you're burning an extra 500 calories a day.
Okay.
And burning an extra 500 calories a day is... That takes some work.
Yeah. Not just your normal body calorie burn. You're getting out and you're being active. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I that's one of the things I've noticed too, is just in times of my life when I need to get back at some things. I've kind of let some things go. At one point when I was taking care of myself physically a little bit better than I am right now, I noticed, I could work out a tremendous amount. And at one point I was working out 12, 15 hours a week. But, it's amazing how much of this has to do with what we're eating and putting in our bodies. Mm-hmm. You can work out and be pretty diligent about it. Maybe get 5-6 hours of working out in a week. But it's amazing how if you're not eating well, you may not see as much of an impact as you might think.
Yeah, for sure. It's probably 75% diet and 25% working out, being active.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I think you...
That's why you're here.
You could walk every day, but eat like poo, and you're not going to notice a difference.
Mm. So I think then you add in the equation of just not just the job that creates this issue. Mm-hmm. But then I know, we all share this in common. We're all married. We all have kids. And so when you have kids that are active, and so when you are off, you're running with kids. And so you're having to eat on the run. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the issues of the job and then what all of it creates. And you got the blessing of a family, but yet you're running wide open with your family. And so you're eating, I'll use your terms, you're eating like poo all the time because of you're just constantly on the run.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you can be going, but you're eating terrible, and so you're just canceling the other one out.
Yep. It's hard for me. I mean, I have two kids, and my oldest is playing soccer practices once a week. We have games on Saturdays, and some of those are traveling, and it's very difficult. Sometimes I go hungry because I don't want to get Chick-fil-A when they get it or something like that. So you have to be very disciplined about the choices you're making and preparing ahead of time. Wake up earlier, if it's a Saturday game or whatever, or have something already prepped in the fridge for you to grab really quick in your 15-minute transition from getting home from work to going to soccer practice or whatever it is.
Just hearing you talk about that, our kids pick up on what we do. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about this, if my kids are seeing my poor wellness in the area of physical fitness and dieting, I'm making a second generation of poo eaters.
Yep. And they, you know, kids learn more by actions than they do what you tell them. So.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's big. The other thing I was thinking about based on what you said was you mentioned vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that are not taking vitamins, what are some starters there?
Just any multivitamin. They make some that are specific for men and women for good reasons, but really just read what's on the label. And most multivitamins are going to be good enough for you just because you're already getting more than what you would be getting without it. So I guess I could throw out a brand, but like OptiWomen, OptiMen is a good multivitamin. So
sweet.
Yeah. Recently my doctor told me there's a certain vitamin he wanted me to start taking due to some blood work things that have been running. And he actually said to me, he said, I'm not saying they're all bad. He said, but I will tell you that one of the ones where we've seen a consistent change has been from a retailer called Nature's Outlet.
Yeah.
And he said they usually produce some pretty decent vitamins and that kind of stuff.
Yep. So, they're pretty pure. I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
So
let's open a door. You want to jump in or do you have something there?
Well, I don't want to open this door.
Uh-oh.
I think this is where I was getting ready to go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
If we're going to talk about caffeine, let's just get it out of the way. I'm not addicted to coffee.
That's what addicts say.
I just have to have it.
Yeah.
But I could quit. I don't want to quit.
Yeah.
So just want to let you know that.
Your face says otherwise. just saying.
So about 2 years ago, we did Daniel Fast with my church. And you don't do caffeine on Daniel Fast. And then I was probably drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day.
That's weak sauce.
Right. With one of them being a quad espresso.
Mm-hmm.
So,
holy smokes.
Yeah. A lot of extra calories, too much caffeine. You're only supposed to have about 95 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is one cup.
Holy cow.
I would say a lot of us are well over that.
I've always wanted to be an overachiever. Not in that area.
I was gonna say, I think you succeeded.
So
in that
95
area.
Milligrams of caffeine.
Yep, one cup of coffee, which I think one cup is 8 ounces.
Yep.
It's not even a full cup of coffee.
This hurts.
I don't drink coffee at all. But I
brag about it.
I have noticed bad things happen if I do get a hold of caffeine.
I've seen Darren drink a Red Bull one time. And I had worked all, this is again, confessions, but I had worked all day. And
confessions with Anna Bulk.
Yeah. Fitness confessions. My name's Gareth and I drink a lot of caffeine. we had working at Officer Survival actually. So I said, hey, like I'm exhausted. Can you just stop by and get me whatever energy drink you want? And so he's like, let me give you a Red Bull. I was like, sure. So he walks up and he gives me mine and he's like, which one do you want? I was like, whoa.
Gosh.
You're going to drink one? He said, yeah, sure. And I had the conversation with him. Like, you don't drink soda much. You don't drink coffee. So I need you to pace yourself. Like,
yeah,
you don't.
At that time, I'd never had an energy drink before.
So I said, like.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't drink coffee at all, right? So
we need
you
to,
have
like,
natural caffeine in your blood.
Yes, he does. So I told him, like, by 1 a.m., I need to see, like, half of this gone. Like, that's where we're at. And we did one scenario. And he came back, and his eyes were big around. He's like, that's some good stuff. It's like, you chugged the whole thing. He's like, I don't think it's bad.
Oh my gosh.
He just downed an entire Red Bull. And so I checked with him the next morning. He's like, yeah, I'm not tired. I went to line up. I'm good to go. I'm going to go ride with people. Yay. I'm like, how is this still affecting him? So his wife says, no more of that mess.
Yeah, I made the mistake of helping with the 20-hour day and having, I drank a Mountain Dew at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I remember that.
Oh, boy.
I'd been up since 5 o'clock the
Holy
morning before,
cow.
And I had that Mountain Dew at 2 a.m. I had to go do a school presentation with Scarlett at an elementary school and that kind of thing, and then I was going all day long. It wasn't until about 4 p.m. I went to Mission Barbecue and just packed on a bunch of food, which is great right before you go to bed. But I stopped at Mission Barbecue, loaded up. I went home, got in bed at like 4:45 and slept for like 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, I'd been up for like 36, 38 hours and only slept like 2 hours. Like caffeine does bad things to me.
Yeah. But what I was going to say about Daniel Fast when we did it is cold turkey. Day one was rough. It was just rough. It was like if I were ever addicted to anything and coming off of it, everything that, you know, they deal with, I was dealing with.
Your poor family.
I was actually, my mood was actually very good. So it was probably the happiest I've ever been. But anyway.
On day one?
No, like throughout, throughout the month. Say, but then the entire month that we did it, or 21 days, I had the worst headache. It just would never go away. It was constantly lingering. However, my sleep got tremendously better. Mm. I was going to bed at 8 o'clock. I was getting nice sleep, probably a full 8 hours. And I typically only get a good solid 5 to 6 hours of sleep. So
I'm not sure if you happen to know this. I went to, and I can't remember the figures. I can't remember the numbers on it, but they talked about how long it takes. If you know, a lot of our officers, they're drinking the monsters. They're drinking those kind of energy drinks. And I've heard some nightmare stories about what's in some of those energy drinks. But I also, they're talking about how long it takes for that to get out of your system. And we see that guys, and guys will kind of brag about stuff. Well, you know, I can drink a monster and go home, go straight to bed. But they're, even if you think you're sleeping, or you're even not, if you're getting some measure of sleep, you're not getting the quality of sleep that your body needs and your mind needs to reset, because you loaded up on the energy drink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So it takes 5 hours for your body to metabolize the caffeine, but 10 hours for it to get out of your system.
Oh, wow.
So I, when I was on shift, especially on nights, 4 hours of sleep. I'd never slept on nights. Wake up, drink coffee, eat whatever it was, go in and lift, and then have another coffee from 7-Eleven, probably midnight, and sometimes even another coffee at 2 or 3 in the morning. Just depends on how busy the night was. And that was probably the reason I was only getting four hours of sleep.
So that's taking you to until noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Before that's really out of your system.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. If I only knew that back then, I would have started to be conscious about it.
That's huge. Just that piece. So we've talked about, you know, just being more active, getting out of your car and, you know, it's as much as every department now is pushing more with community policing, getting out, getting to know your zone, your district, that kind of thing, getting to know the local businesses, the people in the neighborhood, that kind of thing. Just so it's not a bad thing. Like, get out of your car and be kind of proactive for your own health.
Right.
But also it can help with the job too, and help with the community relationships and that kind of thing.
There's so many ways to do that. My husband, you guys know, is a lieutenant. When he was on shift, he would get out with another sergeant or whoever it was, and they would walk the greenways at night. So it's really, like you said, just figure out how you can do it to fit into your lifestyle and your schedule, and I think that's a big key.
So we've hit on the walk, just be more active, walking, increasing your water intake. I think most people just don't drink enough water, and I was amazed. I actually have a family member who that married into the family, and his dad is like in his upper 70s now, and he doesn't drink water.
Yeah, my dad's at the all. Same way.
He's never seen his dad drink water in his entire lifetime. And that blows my mind.
Yeah,
but you know, to your point earlier too, like, for those of us who have children, we're setting the example. And you know, if we grew up that way in a home, I grew up in a home where my dad, he would put like a half inch of mayo on a sandwich on each slice of bread, that he had already put butter on each slice of bread before that, and then threw ham or whatever else on it. But there's so much mayo. You go through like a jar of mayo in a week, it seemed like. And, you know, I watched my dad have, you know, his arteries reamed out in his neck. I watched him have strokes and heart issues and diabetes mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And he's no longer with us. And something is going to take us out. If you live long enough, you're going to die. But, you know, part of being a good steward that Gareth was talking about earlier, part of being a good steward is taking care of our bodies. And a verse that meant a lot to me as a teenager and it has throughout my life is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, somewhere around verses 7 and 8. You'll read about, you know, training yourselves to be godly, and it's because physical training is of some value, but godliness has value into all things. So we're chaplains, mm-hmm. and you expect the chaplains to say this. You know, we're always going to emphasize the spiritual side of things, but physical training is of some value, and I can be solid spiritually. I can be where I need to be spiritually. But if I'm not taking care of myself physically, then I'm cutting my life short. I'm cutting my time short where I could have been available to serve others longer, be around for my family longer. And, again, something's going to take us out at some point, but why not be proactive and taking care of ourselves so we can have a good quality of life as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That's really good.
I know you, I'm looking over, but I know people can't see. I'm looking over. You've got a notebook with some notes and stuff.
It's just based off of some of the questions.
Yeah. So, but you know, one of the other things, but I wanted to ask you here in a minute, just to kind of things that maybe you want to share that maybe we haven't even thought of or that kind of stuff, or if you've jotted some things down, but I did want to talk about just because it's something we see and we talked about the caffeine. I know one thing, you know, we've talked about it before, and we had another officer in here, Officer Underwood, who talked about, quitting drinking and not using that as a vice to deal with things and that kind of stuff. So a lot of other things that we see beyond caffeine are like the uses of nicotine and alcohol. And so just kind of wanted to talk to you and kind of get your input on how that affects us. I'm not saying those things are inherently bad by any means. I'm just saying that they very well can be, like, which is what he talked about, and how those things affect that health. And we, you know, a lot of times for officers, that's go home and that's the first thing to go to, or mm-hmm. even on the shift, chewing tobacco and those kind of things full of nicotine. How does that kind of stuff affect an officer's health? You know, kind of like what caffeine does.
Too much of a bad thing is bad for you, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's just about overconsumption with those things and being mindful of how much you're taking in. Those become a form of stress relief to calm whatever anxiety or stress or whatever call you went to that day. I think most cops have been there to some degree with something they've been addicted to. And I don't know really how it affects everything, although overconsumption of nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol put you at a greater risk for blood pressure issues. Therefore, blood pressure issues can cause a heart attack at a younger age. So I think that's one of the key things. I think last year for the line of duty officers, there were 35 officers that died due to fatal health conditions. And I can only assume that some of those were probably heart attacks or strokes.
Right.
And it could be something to do with what they're putting into their body.
Yeah.
Since all of that stuff clogs your arteries and messes with, your heart and everything. Mm-hmm. I think really, like for me, my stress relief is running. Mm. My stress relief from work, from family life, it's a time where I really get to think about things that I'm going through and work through it mentally. But for some people, it may be going outside and playing with their kids, or it may be helping out at church or doing yard work or something like that. And I think it's really important to find that thing that you enjoy doing and do it more. If you're going to sit at home and do crafts or build things, stand up while you do it. Don't sit down. So just little habit changes to fit your lifestyle and make you more active.
No, that's good. Is there any other, as you think about officers and kind of the overall health, the overall health of officers after they leave the academy and they're on the job for a while, is there anything else that comes to mind that we haven't hit on that would just might be good information for us to hold on to and maybe try putting these things into practice?
I'm trying to think of stuff that I haven't already talked about. I think, you know, all of those things, water, being active, finding something you enjoy doing, getting your family involved.
Yeah, it's been really good for, you know, I've been out here for a number of years now. For those of you who are not overly familiar with Shield Chaplaincy, I've been a law enforcement chaplain for 16 years, but I've been doing this full time with Shield Chaplaincy now. We were able to launch that at the end of 2018, and I moved in here to the academy in December of 2018. And you've been out here that entire time, and I've watched you model this for not just the recruits, but for the other staff members, the other officers here, and you've done that well. And I'm not the most gifted person when it comes to pull ups. I have strengths in other areas, but pull ups, you know, I struggle with. And there's nothing like seeing Anna Volk, you know, do sets of 12 pull-ups or whatever, and I'm going, yeah, I'd love to get 4, you know. But you have really been a great example of taking care of yourself physically.
And
what I'm grateful for, again, I kind of started with this, but I'm grateful that you are so willing to share this knowledge and walk with people and help put a game plan together. You know, no, you can't do the work for someone. And I know it's frustrating when you want to see someone get to a better place physically and that kind of thing, and they're not putting in the work. Well, you know, sometimes you have to cut people loose. But yeah. I've watched people under you go to places physically that they didn't think they were capable of doing.
Oh, I love seeing that. I love seeing recruits come in and, you know, they've lost 40 pounds or they start out with 0 pull-ups and they're getting 10. You know, wow. I always tell them, if you put in 90% of the work, I'll give you the 10% information that you need, or I can only do 10% of what you need to do to accomplish your physical goals. You have to bring everything else to the table. And apply yourself and be self-disciplined about it. So I really like it when they push themselves and you see that end product of a really good fit recruit coming out of the academy. I want to talk about or answer your question about something else that they could do after they graduate and, you know, to continue being good physically is if you fail, don't stop. Everybody has a bad day. Just pick back up on it the next day. One bad meal doesn't ruin your entire day. You know, you should be giving yourself a good meal every once in a while, but just get back on track. Just because it's an off day doesn't mean the rest of the week has to be that way.
Yeah, don't throw in the towel just because you've had a bad day, or maybe a week or two or whatever. Whatever point you're at, physically, like you don't have to stay there.
Right. And that's anything, right?
It's like we were talking about just recently, you know, Adam was pointing out, you know, everything in life is about taking that first step. Yeah. Every process is about that first step. And, you know, if you're listening in today and you think, man, I've really let myself go physically. And I've got so many bad habits going right now. I don't know, you know, just want to encourage you to make that first step, whatever that looks like for you. If you're not doing any walking at all, well, maybe you take 20 minutes when you first get home, and take 20 minutes just to go for a little walk, and kind of use that to decompress a little bit from your day, and then maybe you start adding a little bit of water to the mix. Just mm-hmm. making that first step is just so important. But again, that's the hardest thing, right?
Yeah.
That first step.
One of the greatest things Corey and I ever did was go on family walks after work. Before we eat dinner, we get home, we put Emery in the stroller, or if she wants to walk and run, she can do that, and Kylie gets on her bike. But it also allows us time to, for us as a couple, to decompress and talk about our days without the interruption and craziness of having a family. And that's really good mentally in itself, is just having that time together to talk about our day and decompress a little bit.
You know, you're talking about going back to the first step and don't letting a meal kill your day. I really botched it last year. I was going to the gym every day at 5 a.m. and lost like almost 40 pounds and feeling the best I felt in years. And then my partner got hit on his motorcycle.
Gosh.
And had to have shoulder surgery. He's a cop. Mm-hmm. And so I let that be my excuse to not go to the gym. And now I've put all that weight back on. I feel miserable. And yeah, so I gotta take my own advice, man. So I'm saying all that to say, like, I'm sure there's people on the other end thinking, gosh, I did so well or not. I'm in that boat. Like, I've got to jump back in. And just recently I've had some doctors run some tests. And actually, I need to come visit with you because I've just recently been given a lot of information. Now I've got to make some lifestyle changes. And I don't really know what to do because I've never had to really do that intentionally before. So
I'll try to help you out.
Yeah. So I got to figure out some things, but I should have been more proactive with my dad's history. But, and I say all that again just to be vulnerable, because I'm sure there are people listening right now that are kind of like, have not done well with this. I've let it all go. I've, you know, had to get the bigger size uniforms. And I know how all that feels. You know, we all got to, I got to eat my own words, my own medicine. And I got to take that first step of getting back into plugged in. I have a gym membership I pay for every month that I haven't been using, you know. So I'm throwing money out the window on top of, you know, have all the access of anything I could possibly want. So
I've been there. It's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I think everybody goes through that every once in a while.
Honestly, you bring up a good point, probably maybe unintentionally, Adam, but maybe one of the things that we probably ought to do is go to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
Like get checked out. You know, it's not that guys are ever bad about not going to the doctor when things are, but one of the things that officers are notorious for, and I went to a seminar down in Northern Georgia and was listening to a guy talk about this. He's a cardiologist and just talking about how officers ignore those early warning signs. You know, we talked about the average age of a heart attack for officers being 49. These guys had symptoms, they had things, but they just ignored it. And it's like, it's no big deal. It's just part of the job. It's just the way I feel or what. They ignored things. And oftentimes they waited so long, they ended up having some major consequences to deal with. So stand by, because next week I go in for this life scan where they're going to ultrasound all the major arteries and things like that, blood flow and all this kind of thing, from head to toe on me, and kind of see where I'm at to give me a, you know, show me what lifestyle changes I may have to make. And because I'm at my father's age. I'm at the age my father was when he started having some significant major issues. And if I can prevent some of that, you know, I certainly want to do it, because I want to be around for my daughters and maybe some grandchildren down the road. And I want to be able to serve the officers that we are blessed and honored to serve for as long as possible. So stand by, Anna. There may be multiple chaplains checking in with you to help us get a game plan together.
We still need to get on those chaplain workouts.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
About that.
Yeah.
Now, we want to be leaders in that, believing in wellness. Obviously, we believe in the spiritual side, the mental side, but we also need to be well physically mm-hmm. to be able to serve. So
yeah.
We don't want to be hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, before we sign off, any last second advice you might want to give anybody that's listening, maybe something we haven't necessarily hit on too hard or hit on at all, anything that you would like to share with anybody that's listening in on this today?
No, just start somewhere.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where it is. Figure out what works for you and fit it into your life and go from there.
And I think that's such a big deal. So everybody thinks they have to go do an hour workout every single day,
yeah,
you know, starting out. But like you said, just starting out, even walking in your neighborhood. Yeah. Just walking.
There's actually so many studies in the last year that say just 15 minutes a day is enough to fight a lot of the health conditions.
Wow. That's crazy. So
15 minutes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Check how much time you're spending on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Or social media.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if you have the apps that will tell you that. But when people are like, well, I don't have time to read scripture. I don't have time to work out.
It's right.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Just wait till Sunday morning. They tell you every week if you don't turn it off. So,
yep.
You know, but. Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, really appreciate you taking the time, making time to be with us. And we're looking forward to people getting a chance to listen to this. So if you are listening and you would like to have further this conversation, reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to connect with you. You can reach us on social media. You can email us. You can find out how to get in touch with us on our website. But we'd love to connect with you and continue these conversations that we have every week. Otherwise, we look forward to the next episode, which will be 1 week from today. We'll see you soon.